Good afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. It's a pleasure to be with you again this lovely Sunday afternoon. You have nowhere else to go. You've seen all the movies. You've gone bowling. You're bored with life, so you're here. It's good to see you anyway. No matter what you do, where you come from. When you come in here, you're brand new. The past is dead. Yesterday does not exist. You are here, free at last. I have a dog by the name of Dimitri who takes me for a walk every morning. As soon as I open the door, he runs out and I have him by the chain, by his leash, and he starts running to the park. And I run with him. He gets to the park and he starts eating grass. He thinks he's a cow. He eats tons of grass. Then he runs around the park and goes back home and throws up. He does this every day. So I was thinking about this. Isn't this like most of us? We become involved with the world. We never learn. We go through certain situations, certain conditions again and again and again and again. We repeat the same things over and over again. We are told not to get involved in the world physically. Yet we do. We go through situations, conditions. They hurt us. We take a rest and do it all over again. Some of us never learn. I tell you every week that the world is Maya. Do not take the world seriously. Do what you do in the world, but mentally keep your mind in the self, in God. Be in the world and not of the world. But some of you do not listen. You allow the world to show you its tricks, to make you depressed, or to make you happy, to make you sick, or to make you well, to make you rich, or to make you poor. And you respond accordingly. You become angry, upset. You repeat the same things again and again. Same situations. When will you learn that you live in a world of constant change? This world has no support, no substance. It has no beginning, no end, no existence. Brahman is the world. the world is nothing without Brahman, without God. Brahman is not a person, place, or thing. Brahman is something that cannot be explained. Brahman is yourself. Yet you do not believe this. You believe you are a frail human being who has to go through life's experiences like a leaf in the wind, being blown in all directions, as if you have no control. Yet you are the master. You are the one. There is only you. Yet you do not believe me. You keep believing you are a person with experiences. And as long as you believe this, the experiences become stronger and stronger and stronger. You find sometimes it's impossible to break away, for you have allowed the world and its manifestations to totally control you, to push your buttons, to make you react a certain way. When you see something that you call good, you become happy. When you see something you call bad, you become unhappy. The world has become your master. Yet in truth, the world has no power of its own. The power comes from you. You are the one that says this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is bad, this is up and this is down. When you realize there's no up and down, there's no good or bad, there's no right or wrong. This may sometimes be dangerous for me to say, when I say there's no right or wrong or good and bad. What I can mean to you, give you license, do all kinds of crazy things in this world, cause problems to others. Yet, this is the role that you are playing in the world. We live in a world of duality, when there's total peace in the world, somebody will come along and create a war. In order to obliterate peace, when there are wars and man's and humanity to man in the world, somebody comes along and tries to make peace. There is no evenness in this world. You can never have total peace or total chaos. There appears to be two powers. and one is always contradicting the other. Look at your personal life. Things are going well. For a while, something happens. Seems to pull the rug from under your feet. And you become upset. Things are terrible in your life for a while. Something comes along and changes it. And things are pretty good for a while. And so it is all through your life. The time comes when you get disgusted with this whole game. The time comes when you want to search for eternal happiness. For infinite peace that doesn't change. The search begins within yourself. You begin to examine yourself diligently. You begin to question yourself. And the answers come out of yourself. They're not necessarily the answers you've been looking for. But the answers come. As you search deep within yourself, you are led to the right book, to the right teacher, to the right circumstances, the right experience. You begin to unfold. You begin to look at this world in which you live. And you see it differently for the first time. You see the world as an image projected by yourself. The world begins to have less meaning to you. You begin to drop many of the things you've been into, many of the situations, conditions you've been involved in. You let go of them. You make your life simple. the simpler your life becomes, the happier you begin to feel. There is no one any longer that can upset you or to push your buttons, to make you feel superior or inferior. When you get this far, you begin to search further within yourself, go deeper. And you contact the I. The wisdom within you tells you that all of these years you've been trying to change external conditions, trying to remove certain aspects of the world from your life, when all the time it is the I that should have been removed. Or it is the eye that feels the conditions. It is the eye that causes you to do all the things you do. Your belief system, your preconceived ideas, your concepts are really all I. That's all they are, is I. They have no validity of their own. They have no power of their own. They are simply I. When you realize this, a great weight has been lifted from you. When you come to the conclusion, there's nothing you have to change in the world, for all the world is attached to I. It is a part of I. Therefore, you begin to spend your time in removing the I, transcending the I, annihilating the I, you look for every conceivable way to kill the I. For wisdom tells you, when the I is gone, everything else will also be gone. You therefore begin to find the cause of the I. Where does this I come from? You search for its source. When sages of the past have sat under a tree and pondered the situation, they realize that this I doesn't even exist, but yet, in order to become free, we must still try to eliminate it, for we think we are the body and the mind. Therefore, we have to work on the I. There have been those people that have awakened without this. And those people have become enlightened without going through all of this. Yet most people, most sages who have become realized, have used the procedure, the process of removing the I. So the sages sat under the trees, pondering this question. Where does the I come from? The I that tells me I am human, I am a man, I am a woman, I am sick, I am well, I am happy, I am sad. They pondered this situation. Where does this I come from? They came to the conclusion that the center of the being is the heart, not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart, the center of the universe, what we call God, reality, Nirvana, Satchitananda, is the spiritual heart on the right side of the chest. This is your true self. This is what you really are. You are the spiritual heart. But to make it easy for us, the sages have determined that the spiritual heart is a place on the right side of the chest. Now when you are asleep, there is only the heart that is present, which is the self. Nothing else exists. There is no universe. There is no world, there are no others. When you are in deep sleep, there is only the heart, the self. But as you awaken, somehow, what we call the I thought begins to leave the heart center and enters the brain. And you become cognizant of the world and the universe and your body. Prior to this, you're not aware of the body or the universe or the world. You were in deep sleep. Nothing at all existed. But as you awaken, the eye becomes active, and in a split second, it is in the brain, and you say, I am awake. Just the thought of you saying, I am awake, makes the wise one realize it is the eye that is awake. If I were really awake, I would not be cognizant of my body as reality and the world as reality. Therefore, the I is awake. we try to catch the eye by not allowing it to go into the brain. Yet it happens so fast and is most difficult to do. Therefore, we go the other direction. We try to follow the eye thought back to its source. We follow the eye thought back from whence it came. This is a job we have to do. To awaken to the real self. The eye thought doesn't even exist to begin with. Yet, as long as we believe we are the body, do not fool yourself. Do not think that you are not the body, and then think that you're not the body and act as if you're not the body. When you are not the body, you will know. This is why everybody has to practice. Following the eye thought back to the source. When it turns to the source, you awaken. And it's just like the deep sleep stage when you're awakened. You're not sleeping. It's the same as being in deep sleep. Only you are conscious. You are conscious as the self. As omnipresence, as infinity. You do this by inquiring, who am I? What is the source of I? And you allow the I thought to return to the source. This is what satsang is all about. Returning to the source. There are those of us who are really working on ourselves and making progress. There are those of us who do absolutely nothing and have problems. It is your life. The only way you're ever going to be happy is by removing the I from your consciousness, from your life, and awakening to the truth. It is very simple. The I thought is the cause of all of your problems. Nothing else. There is nothing else wrong. wherever you look, whatever you see, it is because of the eye thought. No thing in itself has any validity. In the beginning stages, years ago, centuries ago, the great sages came up with the idea to get to the eye thought, everything else must be negated. By saying neti, neti, not this, not this, whatever you see, whatever you observe, you realize this is not the truth, this is not the truth. Until you get down to the eye, and you eliminate the eye. But it's been revealed to certain sages there's a faster way. And that is to get right to the eye and remove the eye. For all of the things in this world are attached to the eye. Therefore, you don't have to take the hard way by saying, not this, not this, and taking each thing as it comes. You'll never be finished. There are billions of things. You will keep saying, not this, not this, continuously. It'll never end. Therefore, you realize that all these things are attached to this eye. And all you really have to do is work on the eye to eliminate the eye, and you will be free. This is what satsang is all about. To totally eliminate the eye thought. Many people ask, what are our goals? What is the purpose of suffering? We have no goal and there is no purpose. It is total freedom. There can never be rules and regulations in satsang. Well, this would not be satsang if there were. There has to be total freedom. It is up to you to see the situation and to become free. You therefore do not come here to get involved in politics or in management or in anything else. You come here to remove the eye thought. Simple. Remove the eye thought, you will be forever free. It is only the eye thought you have to contend with, nothing else. There's really nothing else you have to do. How many times a day do you say, I? You say it continuously. Begin to catch yourself begin to see what you're saying. I feel angry. Who feels angry? Your real nature can never be angry. I feel upset. Who feels upset? Your real nature can never feel upset. I feel bored. I feel this, I feel that. When you are living out of your real nature, it makes no difference where you are, whom you're with, what's going on in the world. Everything is all right. For the peace you're looking for comes from within yourself. The happiness you're searching for is you. You do not have to go out somewhere to find happiness. You do not have to go to a certain place to find peace. It appears that way. It appears as if you're in certain circumstances that are not peaceful. You say to yourself, I have to get away from him so I can be more peaceful. Well, you get away and you appear to be more peaceful, but for a while only. Sooner or later, the chaos and the confusion that are within you will take you over once more. And wherever you go, you will feel the chaos and confusion. Changing environments will not help you. Changing family members will not help you. Only by removing the I will you become totally free. Therefore, I'm addressing each one of you individually. What do you do with your life every day? Do you allow your thoughts, your emotions to overwhelm you, to control you, to lead you, to make you think something is wrong someplace? Nothing can ever happen to you . Nothing can ever hurt you if you're trying to protect yourself or feel safe by putting burglar alarms on your house. These things cannot help you at all. Karmically, whatever is supposed to happen to you will happen to you. Your job is to overcome everything, to transcend everything, to realize I am that I am. To leave the world alone. There is nothing to fight and nothing to fear in this world. But most of you do not believe this. You think you have to change things. You believe you have to make things happen. If you do not make things happen, things will break down. Nothing will be right. Who told you this? The only thing that will break down is your ego. Yet some of you will not allow this to happen. You will fight for your ego, you will protect your ego at all costs. For you are afraid to let go. You do not know what's on the other side. You think if you let go, you'll be a wimp or a coward. You think all your good will be taken away from you. This is impossible. The planets spin in their orbits. The sun shines. The flowers grow. All these things happen without confusion, without chaos. Everything is unfolding as it should. But you come along and want to change things. You want to make this a better world in which to live. The one who has created this world knows how to take care of it. Does not need your help, thank you. Find yourself first, then see if you want to change the world. Find yourself first, then see if you want to change your life. Find yourself first, then see if anything is missing from your life. It all begins with you. It all begins with you. You are the one. Question. Minds.
At last.
Like your mind, if I.
You reduced everyone to silence.
You just went to nothing.
Then what?
Anyone like to say anything?
I start to write a question and I said, I have a question, but the answer, what is the answer?
You ask another question.
Right. Same thing. Then you're going to get
rid of the answer. And keep going and going. There's no end.
That's forever going.
Robert, what do you mean by the I thought?
The I thought is absolutely nothing that exists, but appears to exist as something which keeps you away from being enlightened. Something that appears as the world, the universe, God, the body, the mind. And it's I who perceive this. I see these things. When I look outside, what do I see? Do I see God? Do I see the self? Or do I see the trees, the flowers, the sky, the ocean? If I see the flowers, the sky, the ocean, this is an appearance. And I see these things. It is a thought in the mind called I. If I weren't present, there would be nobody left to see all these things. Therefore, the I is responsible for being human. The I appears as the world and all its manifestations. So, in order for a person to awaken to the true self, then he or she is consciousness, the I thought has to be quenched, removed, destroyed. The I thought never really existed. But as long as we believe we are the body, then there is an I thought. Because I am the body. That's what we say. I am the mind. I see the world. This is the I thought. Yet all sages have told us that the world is a dream, it's an illusion. It does not exist as it appears. It is because of the I thought that the world came into manifestation as an appearance. So again, as we remove the I thought from consciousness, we become completely free and liberated, and we are no longer Ed or anybody else.
So there is no I thought. What there is self-referring. And that process has to be ended. When you refer things to the body-mind and say, I see that, I believe that, when you're self-conscious.
Same thing, you can say that, yes. There is no I thought, and there's really no one to prefer anything. Because the I thought makes you prefer. It makes you prefer this against that, that against this. This is good and this is bad. I prefer to have $1 million than to be broke. I prefer to be healthy than to be sick. This is all the I thought. The I thought tells us all these things. But there's no one to be sick, there's no one to be healthy, there's no one to be poor, there's no one to be rich. No one like this exists at all. It is the I that makes it appear so. But again, in reality, there is no I. There never was an I. There's no person. There's only the self, which is ineffable, which is total form.
Why do you tell people to seek the I thought if there's no I thought? It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time to talk. It's a waste of time to say anything. But yet we have to give you an idea of what appears to be happening. All these things appear to be happening. It's all an appearance. As long as you believe in the appearance, by feeling the world to be real in any way that you feel the world to be real, through happiness, through anger, through emotions, through controlling your emotions, all those things are false. But if you're involved in those things, then the I thought is real for you. The I is real. Only to the person who believes they are the body going through experiences. Therefore, you cannot say that the I doesn't exist to these people because they're feeling all the pressures, they're feeling the pull of the world. They're feeling all of the things in this world. So we tell them, remove the I and the world will disappear. I can say right now there's no I. I doesn't exist. But as long as you feel you are the body and you feel things that the body feels, then the I does exist for you, so you can't fool yourself and say it does not exist when you're feeling the world. So the method is to work on the I thought by following it to the heart. When it sinks in the heart, everything disappears.
I think that was the main point, that you're really not stressed to seek the I thought, but to seek the source of the I thought, and when you follow it to its source.
But how can you seek the source of something that doesn't exist? If the I thought doesn't exist, how can you seek the source of something that doesn't exist?
Paradoxical. It's a divine paradox, but when you trace it to its source and find that it dissolves, you realize that neither the source nor the I thought existed at all. What I have a question about that. You've talked, Robert, about trying to trace the I thought back from the brain to the spiritual heart. And I don't understand this process exactly. I mean, do you literally visualize a thought that's like a nerve going from the brain down to the heart?
You simply inquire, who am I? That's how you trace it.
When you talked about making the distinction, you said it's hard to catch the eye thought in the morning, but if you can trace it back to the heart.
Exactly. You trace it back by asking, what is the source of the eye? From whence did it arise? Where did it come from? And that's tracing it back by inquiring, who am I? Where did the eye thought come from?
Isn't it by seeing it that it is obscuring the source?
You cannot see it. There's nothing to see. But the only thing you feel is the world. The world is the eye thought. So when you feel the world, you feel your mind, you feel something, then you ask, to whom does this come? Who's feeling this? That's how you trace it back.
So who's feeling it does not refer to I, it refers to the awareness.
The awareness is your real nature.
What?
Awareness is what you really are.
Yeah.
This is your real nature, but when you don't know that, when the world is caving in on you, when you are self-contracting, and everything is pushing in on you, then you have to use this method to remove these things.
But if awareness is dysfunctioning, it isn't our dysfunctioning, it's quiet, it's in function, then one sees the eye as false.
Awareness is always functioning, but we don't see it, because we're involved in the world. So what we do is we use the eye thoughts to remove the obstacles so we can be back in our natural state of awareness. Awareness is always functioning. It's always our true nature. There never was a time when it was not. It is always available. But the world, the Maya, has become real to us. We call the Maya the eye thought.
Yes, but in awareness it is not appearing as
and awareness, only awareness occurs.
It doesn't function.
In awareness, nothing functions. Just awareness, pure awareness.
But that awareness allows a certain unfolding which is restoring in a natural way or When awareness is functioning, there are no conditions. There's a different action there. It's pure, beautiful action, isn't it? It's just coming from compassion and love.
Compassion and love is part of the awareness.
Yes.
And it's the awareness. That happens by itself.
Yes.
When everything else disappears. And that's a good point. We look for compassion. We look for love, we look for peace. These things are our true nature. By removing the other, then they shine by themselves.
And by that one can actually a little bit what you said, I like very much, not direct others, but one can, without criticizing and without judging, somehow be very helpful from that level, from that awareness level. For one sees exactly what is wrong and right, in the sense, you said it's not right and wrong, but it is, and seeing what is obscured action and I action,
and reaction, in other things, and what is not. From that awareness level, one can oversee that, from what level the human being functions. Whether it is conditionally functioning, or it is I functioning, or it comes from the pure source, as you say, which means awareness.
In a way, this is true. When you're in a state of pure, effortless awareness, there's no one left over to see anything. There's no functioning to be done. You are just pure awareness, yet your body will continue to do beautiful works. And your body will do whatever it came here to do.
And it does function in the human being, sometimes unconsciously. It
passes
through.
If it functions in awareness, then we're giving qualities to awareness.
Yeah.
But awareness has no qualities. Awareness is so ineffable, it is beyond words. There's no way to explain it. It is something above and beyond anything we can ever imagine with our finite minds. Therefore, we can't even talk about awareness. It's like the Hebrew,
it's like the Hebrews
who spoke God G-D. And he never mentioned the term God because it's beyond comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness is like that.
Yeah.
There's no way to say that it does this or it does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond the realm of doing.
Yeah.
There's no one left to do anything. As long as we believe we are the doer, then we're not in awareness.
Isn't it that what then functions in that awareness, isn't it? Isn't it also like compassion or kindness or giving or sharing, whatever? It's no quality, but it seems like it functions out of its own original power. Like compassion is just compassion, it has no attributes, but it functions out of that empty, open spaciousness. We give names to it, but it could not function otherwise but compassionate.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Yeah.
You become a very compassionate person.
Yeah.
A very loving person. But the awareness itself is even beyond those qualities.
Yes, right.
Robert, how does our everyday awareness, when we're not functioning as the mind, when we're functioning as just consciousness, you know, and the mind is silent, how does that everyday pure awareness relate to the actual consciousness itself, the pure awareness of realization?
The pure awareness of realization is itself all there is. There's nothing else but pure awareness of realization. You cannot function as a human being and yet think that you are aware or that you are realized. The humanity has to go. All the human traits have to be destroyed. And pure awareness will function by itself.
But right now I could be looking at you and my mind could be silent, but I'm not realized. How does it relate? How are those bridged? You know, why isn't the mind could be silent? We've all experienced a silent mind for a certain period of time, and yet that realization doesn't come up.
Because the mind has not been completely destroyed. The mind has to be completely destroyed. The ego has to be completely destroyed. When that happens, then awareness comes by itself. Because your true nature is awareness. That's what you really are. But you seem to be covered up by the dream world that pushes on you and contracts in you and causes things to happen to you. All of these things have to be given up, totally surrendered. then consciousness, awareness by itself will shine forth.
But your mind functions also when you want it, right?
There's no mind.
You say it's destroyed, but you can still use it after realization. I mean,
you're not really using your mind. It is awareness that is functioning.
But can't you form a thought in your mind?
There's no you left.
I know there's no you, but a thought is formed. Isn't there a thought? If you have to think what I'm going to buy at the grocery?
You become spontaneous. You know what to do in the grocery. You buy whatever is necessary, but you don't hold the thoughts. They're not solidified. They're not inside of you.
Well, you're not identified with them, but you can still form them.
You don't really form thoughts. It's not thoughts. It is consciousness itself. It is awareness itself that does everything. You are not involved in it anymore. You have nothing to do with it.
And it is all comprehensive in a way,
isn't
it?
It is all comprehensive, yes.
Yeah, it can see the cause and effect at the same time.
Yes, it is
causing
effect. Yeah, then one can do spontaneous, one doesn't need to think anything. One sees it on that level, kind of horizontal level, penetrative, or aspect. The only thing that I disagree with you is when you say that something is seen. You see something. The seeing eye is gone.
Yeah. Then I should say comprehending. Also not right, but all penetrating, all aspects simultaneously. So one can then be spontaneous.
Yet when you go into these things like you are, to be spontaneous, to be all comprehensive. It's as if somebody has to become that.
No,
you just function.
Yeah.
You function.
It just describes
it. So.
On this subject, obviously this is irrelevant too, but could you say, perhaps less objection that rather than being deluded into breaking up the unbreakable into an alleged cause and effect, you just don't do that, or that isn't done?
No. At the state of enlightenment, there's no cause and effect. Cause and effect is for the world.
Right, rather than so quote seeing that they're the same, which is perhaps would be perhaps less wrong to say they're no longer deluded into artificial breaking things up into so called cause and effect.
You can say that.
No, that jump prayers.
If you'd like to say that, you can say that.
I didn't like it enough. I'll probably never say it again. Good. I just tried to emphasize.
How does what you're saying tally with some of the teachers that say, when you're enlightened, there's nothing wrong with experiencing all the modifications of consciousness, or the Zen masters who say that it's actually a heresy to... You have the absolute, and then you have the functioning of the absolute. It's heresy to not deny the functioning of the absolute. Or you have Ramana Maharshi saying that to the unenlightened, the world is adapted, the form of the world, or God is adapted to the form of the world, whereas to the enlightened person, the form of the world is adapted to God. It's not denying the form, but what I'm getting from you is that you're denying the form, you're denying the... what it is that we are seeing.
Would you deny your dream? If you are having a dream, and the dream seems so real to you, and you wake up, it never existed. But while you're dreaming, you do not deny it. You say the dream is real because you're experiencing certain feelings, emotions, and going through experiences. And you're talking about spiritual life in the dream just like you are now. But it's all a dream. When you wake up, it never existed. It has no validity. It has no substance. It never really existed. Only the reality exists. It's the same thing. It's all part of the dream.
But if you're in a grocery store, and even though you're functioning spontaneously, there's still the literal physics of the items that you're buying.
Of course. This is the paradox. You buy the items you need, you live accordingly, but there's no one home.
Are you literally in another dimension simultaneously, or have you completely integrated what apparently is this dream to everybody else?
There are no other dimensions, and there's nothing to integrate. There's just pure being. And it appears to the Ayani as if somebody is doing something. The Ayani sees the world from his own pure objective, where he's looking from his own purity, where his purity is. The Ayani looks at the world and sees joy, sees happiness, sees sorrow, sees unhappiness, sees people working for peace. This is from the view of the Ayani. But for the Ayani, those things have been completely transcended. There's no one left to see those things. It's like images on the blackboard. You draw images on the blackboard, you erase them, you draw new images. So it is with life. Life goes on, but to the Ayani, there are images on the screen of life. They have no validity, they have no solidity. It's like a dream.
Yet at the same time, you're still seeing me sitting here and hearing me ask the question. Is that correct?
That's how it appears to you. That's how you see it.
You were talking about the perennial or continual conflict between chaos and confusion and peace and quiet. Many people, or like a discussion the other day, the average person can't possibly understand what makes a Jeffrey Dahmer or a Manson. What is there in the interpenetration of dimensions that makes something so heinous, so lacking in compassion, that it fails to understand, I'm not saying this right, what makes a Charles Manson?
We do. Our own mind. We create them in our own image. It is we who see all these things. As we develop ourselves, as we raise our consciousness and go higher, those things will be unnecessary. But as long as we are where we are, we will always create a Hitler or a Charles Manson. These people are part of this world of duality. When you have a world of duality, you have to have people like that, or you wouldn't have a world of duality. There couldn't be just total peace in this world, for it would be a contradiction. The world, the universe, and the world of total duality, good and bad, right and wrong, happy and sad, Manson and St. Francis, everything exists in the world of duality. What we're doing in satsang here, in Advaita Vedanta, in this teaching, is to break away from the whole thing, to break out of the shell of duality, where there's a Manson and where there's a St. Francis, where there's a Hitler and where there's the Dalai Lama. They're both part of the world of duality. We're breaking away from this. We're breaking out of the shell. We're coming in a completely new understanding that there is no world that contains a Charles Manson or a Dalai Lama. There is only pure, effortless, choiceless awareness. And this is so ineffable, there's no way to describe it. And it's something beyond anything that you can ever think with your finite mind. The finite mind can never comprehend the infinite. This is why the only thing we can do is to turn within and find out this truth for ourselves. And until we do, there will always be a Charles Manson, a Hitler, a Napoleon, a Genghis Khan, a Saint Francis, a Jesus, a Dalai Lama, and so forth. There will always be those type of people in this world. But we have to break out of it. We have to go beyond that, to go to the place where nothing like this ever existed. There's nobody born like this, nobody dies like this. There's no coming, there's no going. There's just plain nothing.
So are you saying when we are aware and awake, we would realize neither Manson nor St. Francis exist at all?
Well, you wouldn't even have those things come into your mind. You would realize that the world doesn't exist, or they couldn't exist. Again, we go back to the dream state. In the dream state, you dream about St. Francis, you dream about Hitler, you dream about Charles Manson. All those things appear to be happening in the dream state until you awaken. When you awaken, they never happen. He did not say about the dream, that was the past, and this is the future. There's no past or future, it was a dream. The dream is out of your mind. The dream came out of yourself.
So they would both be part of Maya.
Yes.
The mind spins all that.
The mind spins the web.
Only a parent source.
Of course.
Like the spider spinning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everything is in your mind.
But you can't say this to people who are suffering from the Holocaust, or people who have been through all kinds of horrible, ghastly experiences. They will not understand this. This is why Ramana Maharshi Shankara tells us that Advaita Vedanta is only for certain people, mature souls, who have been through the mill, and they've studied many yoga techniques and Zen and all kinds of teachings in past lives, perhaps, and have advanced to the state where they can now see it's all nonsense.
And the Dharma, the Dalai Lama says, it's more important to learn about the cause and effect, the law of karma, than about of anatta.
Yes, he says this because he's speaking to the people.
That's what he understood.
That's how you speak to the people, to the masses.
They have
crucify him.
I'm ready, sweetheart.
Take me on.
Robert, what about all the teachers that are always insinuating that their teaching is the teaching, and that there are a lot of other teachings out there, but we have to be careful because those teachings are within the realms of illusion, and those teachers are themselves deluded. So something like this is, you can't go to the library, you can't get the facts. You really have to go on. I don't know what you go on.
Every teaching has its place. Everybody belongs where they belong. There are no mistakes.
Can't we have a rating system? A+, A-.
Good politician.
Or maybe a guru referral service. What kind of guru do you want?
Actually, this is why they say, know thyself. Know who you are, and then you'll understand the rest.
Which seems like there's no possible way to mechanically go through this, being in this illusion. So, you know, there has to be some sort of higher power that
it can pull you out of this. I can never do this on my own. I just end
Why do you
the
say
same
that?
Place all over again.
Who says that? Why do you say that?
Experience.
That was your past experience. This is today. Forget about the past. You are the only one who can bring yourself out of it. You have all that power within you. If you're ready, it will happen. Only you can do it for yourself. No one else can do it for you.
So it's a desire then?
It's more than a desire. It's a sort of an understanding, a total surrendering of the ego, of the self, of the small eyes. A total giving up. A total disgust with all the things in this world. And then it happens by itself. But as long as you're enjoying the world, then it's going to happen.
What about 99% disgust and 1% enjoyment? I'm serious.
There will be 99% high QA and 1% delusion. But get rid of the 1% and you'll come out of the different.
Is that what happens to gurus who seem to have fantastic teachings but who want to be worshipped and think they're God and they want all your money and everything? Is that what happens?
You're being dumb, preaching.
I have no idea what happens to these people. Again, know yourself. The answer is always know who you are and where you're coming from. Then you'll understand everything else. And you'll leave everything alone.
As you said, if one really looks at their teachings, there is always something for this, what we may call it, for this process, know yourself. Means also, how do you act in your conditioning? And the moment of seeing, that will disappear.
Yes.
That conditioning.
Yes.
So it is very helpful. Some teachings are helpful. The aspect of you saying that someone wants to be worshipped, usually it is done by the helplessness and need of the people.
Mm.
They elevate them, elevate the teacher. Without that, they know if the teacher isn't totally realized, it will get at him at one point or her. And then they leave the role as God. But sooner or later, that will fall apart anyway. No one can hold up to this pretense too long. Let's observe the whole on that level.
There are different kinds of teachers in this world.
Right.
Even the lowest churches, all of the churches are necessary.
Yes.
Everything is necessary. Yes. There's nothing wrong. There are no mistakes. Everything is necessary for people.
And the conditioned mind, those who criticize, are very fast to criticize because they are arrogant. Very great arrogance is there, and the ego plays itself up all the time. So by denigrating the situation, the ego feels good and identifies either with the divine or the
Sure, again, this is why it is written, work on yourself,
right.
Take care of your own business, mind your own business, and everything else will take care of itself, you take care of yourself.
I remember one time early when I started listening to you, Robert, you said that we were all hell-bent for heaven,
oh.
And I never have forgotten that because it was so true of every path being in its right place at the right time.
Sure. So what else is known?
If that's hell-bent for heaven, does it mean you have to join a motorcycle gang?
If you want. Why not?
If you want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to join Ego Anonymous. Robert, when are you going to
on wheels? Were there teachers in India who are really real life beings who did this wanting to be worshipped business? Was that an authentic path? Or?
Well, there are many teachers who want all kinds of things.
Are they authentic real life beings?
Don't ask me.
So then, if nothing else happens, you can give this. Somebody brought
it.
No, he brought it himself. So, isn't it for giving?
You're going to watch you eat them all. Sit there and hold it.
Yeah. Everyone.
In the dream state, yes. You can awaken in the dream state for a while, once. But when you go all the way, the dream breaks and you're no longer in the dream. You come out of the dream completely. In that final analysis, you have a complete, total awakening.
Yeah. And then you wake up in the morning and think you're pretty great for a while, but then you fall back into one more.